Have you ever been in a circumstance or a situation where, I mean, you really even thought to yourself, I don't even know if God can handle this? I mean, it just seemed like such a big thing that was going on or big thing that was taking place in your life. And you begin to even wonder, you know, could this even be handled by the Lord? Now, we know that's silly right now. When we sit back and think about it, that sounds really ridiculous when we say it when everything is going good. But sometimes what happens are the circumstances and situations get so great that there are times that we will even doubt whether or not God can handle something. Now, if that's you, I want to tell you there's good news for you. Today, we're going to be looking at yet another miracle of the Messiah called the healing of the Gadarene demoniac, and that's going to come out of Mark chapter 5. So grab your Bible. Come on back. I'll see you in just a moment. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're so glad that you are joining us today. I mentioned just a moment ago that we're going to be looking at passages that come out of Mark's Gospel chapter 5. So go ahead and turn your Bible on over there so you'll be right along with us as we get together in the Word of God today. Now, as we look at this, the story of the Gadarene demoniac is one of the most striking accounts of Jesus' miraculous power over evil forces that we see in the Bible. This narrative displays not only Christ's authority over demons, but also his compassion for the afflicted. Now, as we've been going through these miracles, one of the greatest things I hope and pray that you've been able to see, you know, throughout our journey through the Master's miracles has been the fact that they're just loaded with compassion for those that are afflicted of one thing or another, whatever we may be reading about or whatever we may be seeing along the way. So look with me if you would. I want you to keep in mind the question that I ask you. Maybe you sit back and say, yeah, I've been in that position before where I've wondered whether or not this was even something that God can handle. And you might even be a little embarrassed to say that because, you know, when you come through it and on the other side, you're like, I always knew God had the power and God could do it. But sometimes Satan likes to put those doubts in our minds. Well, look with me if you would. Mark chapter 5. We're going to begin reading at verse 20. It says, then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes, and when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you, by God, that you do not torment me." For he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send him out of the country. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding in the near mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission, and the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see, you know, what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him and who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion upon you." And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him and all marvel. Would you pray with me? Father, as we come together today, we just ask that your Spirit would truly speak through your word to each and every one of us. Lord, I am grateful that your word tells us that it does not return void. As we have taken this time to read your word, I pray, Father, that not only would we have a head knowledge of it, but Lord, that you would give us a heart knowledge of what you want us to know and understand from your word today. Lord, teach us. Lord, I pray you'll use me as your messenger for these moments, that you truly would be the one that's lifted up, and may all glory and credit be toward you. So bless our time, Father, as only you can. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as we look at this particular passage, we see there's a whole lot of things that are taking place and going on here. Now, the setting of this particular passage is in the region of the Gadarenes. And something that's important to know and remember is that this was a predominantly Gentile area, which was on the east side of the Sea of Galilee. Now, Jewish customs were not dominant here. And that's evidence in the word as we've read it. There's plenty of evidence of that by the fact that there was a herd of pigs, you know, animals that were considered to be unclean by Jewish law. Okay, the presence of such a large herd also indicates the area's economic framework, which played a role in the townspeople's reactions as well. You know, they knew a little bit later on that what Jesus had done and the fact that the demons had gone into the swine, and it says about 2,000 of those pigs went running down a hill and then off over into the sea. That was a huge financial and economic loss for that particular area at that time. Folks, I've always said this, when Jesus shows up, there's all kinds of things that'll take place, and sometimes they can be costly. They're the right things, they're the things that the Lord would want, but yet sometimes they're costly things. So as we consider, as we continue to consider this, we need to kind of look at what the scriptures are telling us today, okay? In the original Greek text of our text today, it really kind of gives a description of the nature of this demon-possessed man. He was desperate. He was uncontrollable. He was in a situation of despair. And that's often where we find ourselves when we sit back and question whether or not even God can take care of our circumstance or situation. Now, I want you to think for just a moment about the position this man was in. We know that he was literally demon-possessed. We know that he was in a desperate situation. We know that this was a guy who was uncontrollable. The word tells us that they had bound him in chains and shackles many times, but he just broke right out of those. And he was living out there among the tombs. This was a guy that was pretty much just hanging out in the cemetery. Now, we also learned that he used the term legion. You have to understand that when the man approached Jesus, it wasn't the man who was talking, but rather the demons that were within him. And Jesus asked the name, and he said, he gave the term legion. Now, legion is a reference to a Roman military unit, which indicates an overwhelming number of demons that were possessing this man. So it wasn't just one. There were multiple, and in fact, it was, I would call it, I guess a good way to say it would be like a whole platoon, when you're looking at it from a military term perspective. There was a whole platoon that were that essentially were possessing this man. Now, you know, Jesus has this ability to command the demons, and that is a great look at his divine authority that he has over even evil. Those unclean spirits, as they are called, or those demons, they understand. They recognize who Jesus is. They realize that Jesus has power and authority over them. And folks, you know, we serve the same God today as was being served in this particular time, the Jesus that walked, the Jesus that was compassionate, the Jesus of all the miracles that we have been studying here lately, and he is the same today. He has compassion upon each and every one of us, and always know that he still, to this day, is divine. He still, to this day, has authority over demons and over every circumstance and every situation. So there's a couple of things that we want to learn, you know, out of the scriptures today. You know, one of those is that the narrative of the Gadarene demoniac demonstrates Jesus' authority over evil, as well as his transformative power in the lives of individuals. Man, I always said this, when Jesus in your life changes your life, when a person repents and comes to know and trust Jesus, you can't go do all of the old sinful things that you used to do. There's conviction in your heart. You have the Holy Spirit, your teacher. You've got the Word of God to help us along the way and to teach us. And we need to realize that the God that we have trusted, the Jesus that we have asked into our heart, still has ultimate power over each and everything, including the things of evil, okay? And he exercises that in our lives with compassion, okay? Now, despite the societal rejection and despite fear, Jesus in this case, or in this scripture today, prioritizes the spiritual liberation and restoration of humanity. You know, this was a guy, like we said before, he's in a desperate situation. He's living in a cemetery. He's not in his right mind. Nobody can control him. Nobody really even wants to be around him. And most people are afraid of him. So essentially, society has rejected him. And a lot of times, society will reject things out of fear. And I want to capitalize that on just a minute, because we see the reaction of the townspeople, you know, after they come and find this man healed again. You know, when we think about it, what was it that they wanted of Jesus? They didn't want to hang out with him. They didn't say, well, man, look, hey, you did a great thing for this guy. Why don't you stay around? That's not what they said. They basically said, hey, man, look, how long are you going to be staying in town? We'd kind of like for you to move on, because these are things that we don't understand. And oftentimes what happens is we fear things that we don't understand. Okay, so even despite the rejection of society, and even despite the fear of those people, Jesus prioritized spiritual liberation and restoration of this particular man. Now, I have to point out, notice I said spiritual liberation. You know, Jesus always took care of the physical needs, most often prior to taking care of the spiritual needs of the people that we see in a lot of these miracles that we've been reading about and discussing. You know, in other words, I don't think that it was one of those situations where Jesus said, well, you know, I'm going to do something for you, and because I did something for you, I want you to trust me. You know, that kind of takes the faith factor out of it. But I think that what we read is that essentially the thanks, the great deal of gratitude, just like in the case that we're reading about in our text today, there was such great gratitude that this man wanted to follow Jesus. And we'll get to that in just a moment, but think about those things. Even though society had rejected this man, and even though society was afraid of this man, they also became afraid of Jesus and what was going on with him. But yet Jesus still, essentially saved this man, and it was all because of humanity. Now, the demoniac's condition is described with a very dramatic intensity. I mean, when you read this, you try to kind of get a picture in your mind about what was taking place and what was going on. You think about somebody that gets put in like handcuffs or shackles and is chained up and is breaking chains, according to the Word of God. That's what it's saying. He was breaking these bonds and nobody could control him, okay? His isolation in the tombs indicates both a physical as well as a spiritual death. There's a lot of metaphorical things that are going on and taking place in this particular scripture, and that is a great one. That isolation of living in the tombs, talking about living among the dead, was indicative of both physical as well as spiritual death. Okay, now his violent behavior, as well as the self-harm, because it says that he would take stones and he would cut himself. Those things epitomize demonic control of a person. Now, before we go any further, there's something that I have been asked throughout my whole ministry, and I want to make this very, very clear. I've often had a question where somebody has said, well, preacher, let me ask you, can a Christian be demon-possessed? The answer to that question is no. And I'm going to tell you why. Because as a born-again believer, you are already possessed by Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And he's not going to share his home with anything that's evil or demonic. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean that a Christian person cannot be demonically oppressed. There's a difference between those two. You know, oppression is something that a demon may do towards you. Possession is something that they do essentially from an inward stance as they have possessed or taken you over, okay? So we need to understand that. So this particular man's violent behavior and self-harm was just the epitome of the demonic control that was in his life. Yeah, it was even something he couldn't do anything about it. It was almost like he was a spectator in his own body. Yet, at the sight of Jesus, you know, when this man saw Jesus, he acknowledges Christ's divine nature even in his tormented state. Okay, Jesus interacts with the demons, showing his authority as he commanded them to leave the man. Jesus knew exactly what was going on, just as he does in your life and my life even today. Yeah, he knows exactly what's taking place. Okay, the self-destruction of the swine illustrates the destructive nature of evil compared to the life-giving power that we have through Jesus Christ. Now, yeah, again, just to kind of take us back, after this miracle, the townspeople, they were in fear, you know, contrasted with the man's healing and his peace. Man, when you look at that, that was a definite compare and contrast. These are people who had known this man. The townspeople that showed up knew. It was kind of like one of those things where you'd almost think there was a sign out there by the tombs that said, "Beware of the possessed crazy man up here." Anybody that would have been in that area on a frequent basis knew what was going on, knew that he was living there, knew of his possession, and knew of his uncontrollability, and most of them would probably steer clear from that, okay? But what happens is, now they show up after the miracle, after Jesus has called the demons out of him. They go into the swine run over the hill. People come out of curiosity. They come to see what's taking place and what's going on, and they hear the story of those who witnessed it. They said, "Hey, this is what happened. You know, Jesus made the demons come out of this man. They went into the pigs, and the pigs all ran over the hill. Big economic crush." And yet, at the same time, one of the interesting things that they see is this man sitting there in his right mind, clothed and in his right mind. It's completely different than what they had known of him, you know, probably weeks, months, maybe even years before that. They're like, something has definitely changed about this guy. So, you know, interestingly enough, you know, this man, realizing that Jesus is the one who has liberated him from the demonic possession that he had, he wants to go with Jesus. He wants to follow Jesus. Man, that should be the mark of each and every one of us. When we think about all the things that Jesus has done in our lives, we should want to follow him. You know, when it comes to gathering with God's people in church to gather around the Word, or even the Bible study like we're doing right now, that should be something that we desire to do, because we want to know more about him. We want to hang out with Jesus. You know, we're grateful for what he's done in saving us and delivering us from death and hell, and giving us the opportunity to walk with him as one of his children. And that's exactly what happened to the man in our text. He wanted to follow Jesus, but Jesus at this point commissioned him to testify to God's work, making him, I guess you would call it, one of the early evangelists to the Gentiles. Remember, back in that day, yeah, it was just still starting to be one of those situations where the Gentiles were hearing about salvation. You know, usually it was kind of like, oh, this is just for the Jewish people. But remember, this is a Gentile location. Jesus went there. You know, Jesus called Paul. Paul was one of the first to go out and preach to the Gentiles. But here is a guy who has had something incredible happen in his life by the hand of Jesus, and he is testifying to it. Now hold on, because you're going to love this. You know, we always talk about being a witness for the Savior, right? Okay, think about it for a minute. If you're talking about, even in our today's society, a witness can only testify to the things that he or she have seen or heard themselves. Otherwise, I can't sit back and say, well, my uncle told me that this is what happened. Because in a court of law, they'd say, well, no, you can't say that. You can't testify to that, because that's hearsay. In other words, all you're doing is repeating what someone else said. You have to see it. You have to experience it for yourself before you can be a witness to it. Okay? So this man is a witness to what Jesus has done in his life and what Jesus has done for him. And Jesus commissions him to go out and testify, be a witness to God's work in your life. He didn't say go out there and quote the Romans Road. He didn't say go out there and do the faith program. He didn't go out and say do witnessing without fear. Now, by the way, all of those are good tools. What he said was go out and tell the story of what Jesus has done for you. And that is the same for you and I. We should be going out and telling the story of what Jesus has done for us. Those are the only things that we can witness to. I can't tell your story, and you can't tell mine. But you know what? I can tell my own story, and you can tell yours. And I promise you, the Lord is going to put you in the places and around the people that need to hear your story. Will you be faithful to share that? Okay? As we continue to look at our passage today, we need to understand that this passage challenges us to recognize areas of spiritual bondage in our lives and point to Jesus as the source of our freedoms. You know, sometimes we'll have things in our lives that shouldn't be in there. The Holy Spirit is convicting us of them. And we certainly don't want anybody else to know about that. We try to fight these, we call them little demons. You know, you've heard people say that before. Well, I'm battling my own demons. Well, maybe you are. Maybe it's spiritual oppression. If you're a believer, it's oppression, not possession. But yet at the same time, you know, we have to understand, you know, if you're in that kind of a spiritual bondage in some way, there is one who can deliver you. Jesus has the authority to do that. And he wants to have compassion upon you if you will allow him to deliver you from the bondage that you're in right now. Okay? He is the one who is the source of our freedom. Not another program, not another, you know, something else in our schedule to do, but Jesus. Okay? It invites us to allow Christ's transformative power to work within us and to share our testimony with other people, showing the compassion and showing the authority of Jesus. Maybe there's been a time in your life when the Lord has done something really incredible. You need to acknowledge that to the people that are around you. You know, back a couple of years ago, you know, I had this, you know, malignant melanoma skin cancer, and I got a scar on my arm where they took it off, but I don't sit there and give credit to the doctors. I give credit to God Almighty. He is the one who delivered me from that. That's my story that I can tell, part of what I can share with others that points to the authority as well as the compassion of Jesus Christ. Are we doing that? Yeah, that's going to be one of your challenges, not only for this week, but for the rest of our lives, is to be able to go out and tell our story. Go out and tell of the great things that the Lord has done or is doing in your life. Okay, you see, the healing of the Gadarene demoniac is a powerful, powerful reminder of Jesus' power over evil and his dedication to restoring individuals. You know, it encourages us to acknowledge Jesus' authority in our lives and to actively testify about his mercy and about his grace. You know, I often think about how this particular text ends. When the people came and, you know, the people saw what, you know, what had taken place. And it says, let me carry you back to that particular scripture. It says, then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon possessed and had the legion. They knew all that. Sitting clothed and in his right mind, he had been delivered. And it says this, it says, and they were afraid. How many times in the Word of God do we hear the words, do not be afraid, okay? Don't be afraid when God shows up in a big way. They were afraid. It says they were afraid. It says, and the Scripture continues, and it says, and those who saw it told them how it had happened to him who had been demon-possessed. In other words, they told the story of what they had seen Jesus do and told him about the swine. It says, then they began to plead with him being Jesus, to depart from their region. Man, I'm going to tell you one thing. If I got a guy around like that, I want to keep him around. I'm not going to try to run him out of town. I'd rather him stay and help out and be of something good to the people. And then it says, and when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. Folks, I pray that each and every one of us, when we see the things that, that God has done in our lives, that we beg Him, Lord, let me follow You. Lord, let me be a disciple. Lord, let me hang out with You 24/7, okay? And you can do that, and He will. He wants you to do that, but He also wants you to tell the story. So you see, instead of allowing the man to physically come with him and get in the boat and go with him, He told him this. He said, go back home. Go to your friends and tell them what a great thing the Lord has done for you. Not that you did yourself, not that you know somebody else did for you, but the Lord, what the Lord has done for you and how He has had compassion upon you. And then the word tells us that the man departed and he began to proclaim in the town of Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and people marveled about that. Man, is that our story? Wouldn't we certainly like to have that story for us as well? I hope and pray that you will. In just a moment, I'm going to dismiss our time today in prayer, but let me go ahead and share with you what we're going to be looking at, your readings for this week, your reading and study for this week. I want you to spend some time in Luke's Gospel chapter 8, okay? Luke's Gospel chapter 8. Next week, we're going to discuss the 14th sermon, message, Bible study, whatever you want to call it, of the miracles of the Messiah. And then next week we're going to be talking about the raising of Jairus' daughter, and that comes out of Luke chapter 8, verses 40 through 56. So I pray that you'll be studied up and ready to join us as we gather together next week around the Word of God again. Let me have a word of prayer with you as we dismiss our time today. Father, as we come to You today, we want to thank You, first of all, for Your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, through whom salvation is possible. Lord, forgiveness is possible. Restoration is possible only through Jesus. And Lord, we thank You for the fact that He has the power over all evil. Lord, we ask for Your guidance in our daily struggles and for courage to share Your wonderful deeds with the whole world, each and every person that we come in contact with. Father, You have placed us where we are. You've asked us to bloom where we're planted. May we be found faithful in doing so. Lord, restore us and use our testimony to bring glory to Your name. And Father, we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, again, I want to thank you for taking the time to gather with us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you need any information about our church, it can be found at the website that you see on your screen. It's www.oakridgecbc.org. And as always, if you happen to be in the Oak Ridge, North Carolina area, we would love to have you visit with us on a Sunday morning, or maybe even potentially if you're in this area seeking a church home, come by. Give us a listen. We'd love to have you share around God's Word with us. Our Sunday services are at 10:45 every Sunday morning. We do have other discipleship opportunities through Sunday school, small groups, you know, women's small groups, men's small groups. We have a WANA program for the children. So, man, we would love to have you join us. And if you do, be sure to come up, introduce yourself to me and say, hey, look, I've been watching you on the Wednesday Bible study and just wanted to come and say hello. So we'll be looking forward to having the opportunity to see you this coming Sunday. God bless, and I pray you're going to have a great week as a messenger in the hands of the Messiah.